Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here, Wesley Wildman. And we're in Tupelo, MS, and in Kansas City, KS, is our good friend, Dr. Ray Pritchard. And joining us now in studio is Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening if you're in Moscow, I suppose.
Yeah. You got friends in Moscow, do you?
No, okay. But we are there.
Are you like a Russian agent? Or
I wouldn't be able to tell you if
I were.
You
can't deny or confirm.
Right. I just know that if you got the app, you can listen anywhere in the world, so we are there.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just watching the news here in our studio, and there was an interesting survey that came up, reported by CNN. And they asked the question, I don't know if it was CNN's poll or they were reporting somebody's poll, but they were asking the question, who do you trust more on the economy, former President Trump or Vice President Harris? And Trump had 50% and 39% for Harris. So that was on a major, Steve, a major election issue, the economy. People all argue almost every time that it's the number one issue for a majority of Americans. Mr. Trump has a substantial lead.
I cannot, I haven't seen the numbers. Those numbers I have seen, I saw
what along numbers?
With you, the one you just cited.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that anybody who's paying attention would think that Kamala Harris would be better with foreign affairs or the military. So I think this election comes down to, if you are interested in issues, if you really are thinking about what's best for the country, how can you go with somebody like Kamala Harris, who hasn't been able to express any positions? She doesn't have any. But if you want a nice guy or a nice gal in there, someone that you go out to coffee with, or the saying goes, have a beer with.
That's the projection.
That's what
her campaign staff want you to look at.
It's personality.
Is she likable?
Because she's probably more likable to many people than Donald Trump. Although there was a video going around, I saw. In fact, I don't know. Did you guys play this? A video of Donald Trump. So he was Donald Trump. This is the Donald Trump that you don't always see. This is yesterday. He was in Pennsylvania, and he was at a supermarket because he wants to draw attention to the rising prices. So he's at a supermarket. You know, look at what inflation has done to you. Are you better off now than you were when I was president? And he came across a woman, and he decided to help pay for her groceries. Now, this was a mom. You'll hear, I think if this is the cut, you'll hear him talk about the kids. But, and this isn't a mom that, as far as I know, this was just a random lady that was buying groceries. It wasn't somebody in dire need. But this is the president you don't get to see because the media won't show him. Cut 9.
Here, it's going to go down a little bit. It just went down $100. We'll do that for you from the White House, all right?
Thank you.
All right, bye. Nice seeing you, everybody. Beautiful. They're your kids?
Yeah,
beautiful.
They are. Three boys.
Perfecto.
Three for three. Bye, everybody.
So anyway, he handed the lady a $100 bill, said, here's help with your groceries. And then he promised to do that from the White House. But, I mean, this is the kind of guy he is. He's a very nice guy.
You know him?
Yeah, no.
No.
How do you know that? How do you know that then?
I've seen enough. I've talked to enough people that do know him.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen enough of these type of videos to know that he is not at all the person that they try to portray him as.
He's not Hitler.
In the media.
He's not Hitler.
No.
It's a pretty low bar.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's what they want to make him out to be. Well, that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that they have exaggerated quite a bit.
Oh, I know. I know. I'm just kidding.
Sure.
I did have a chance to shake his hand and meet him one time at the White House when he invited Christian leaders to the White House. This is about, 6 years ago? Or so, and he is very personable, can be very personable, about President
Generous?
Trump.
Generous?
He can also be the opposite.
Yep.
He can also be the opposite depending on the situation and the issue and what he's dealing with. But, hey, we all have our good side and bad side, right? I call it good Trump, bad Trump. You don't know which is going to appear on any particular day sometimes. But, listen, he has a lot of that was a good report I just mentioned a few minutes ago, because the economy is the number one issue for a lot of people, and he is 11 points ahead of Harris on the issue of who would handle the economy better. I haven't seen the surveys, but I'm guessing, Steve, on the military and international affairs, he's going to be seen by the American public as superior to her.
I haven't seen the numbers either, but I can't imagine they'd be different.
Yet still, it's a if you believe the Real Clear Politics average, and I do, it's going to be a very, very tight race.
Is it possible to have a tie?
I'm leaving. I don't know if you're staying, but I'm headed for the hills if we have a tie.
It is possible to have a tie.
How do you have a tie?
I mean, electorally. That's what I'm asking.
Okay, that's a very good question, Steve.
I have a piece of a story that I have that has different scenarios of what could happen, and there is a scenario, given the right states that fall the right way, that they could tie 269 to 269.
That's what our country needs.
And then in that case, the election goes to the House of Representatives, which in this case would have a Republican majority.
Like five votes.
Well, but
goodbye, all five.
This question was for you, Dad. I wanted you to have to sit through this one.
Probably you could probably whip those votes up correctly to give Donald Trump the election for that to happen.
Well, listen, I was just looking at the Real Clear Politics averages. Nevada is tied. I don't know why they keep listing on Real Clear Politics Ohio as a battleground state, and then they show Trump up 9 points. That's not a battleground state.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Florida's really not a battleground state.
Ohio used to be.
Trump's up 6 points in Ohio. Now, your true, quote, battleground states are Georgia. Georgia's Trump up 2. North Carolina, Trump and Harris tied. Pennsylvania, Harris and Trump tied. Arizona, Trump up 2. Wisconsin, Harris up 1. I mean, you can see it. As I mentioned before, this is just, I don't know if there'll be some separation between now and Election Day. This is probably the closest I've ever seen the polls leading up to a presidential election.
2 months is forever in politics, and there's a thing that we all know. It's called the October surprise. Something is going to break in October. Both or one of the candidates are going to campaigns.
Plandemic. I mean,
yeah.
Plandemic. You predict another plandemic, Wesley, do you?
No, I don't think that'll happen.
It is going to be close. Yeah. Do you remember when Ohio used to be the swing state? It used to be the battleground state.
It was considered the bellwether state.
If you got Ohio, you were likely to win the White House. That's all changed in that because of politics.
Well, Florida and Ohio used to be purple states, and now they're red states for the most part. So that's good news for the Republicans. But still, you know, you're going to have to look at probably going to come down to Pennsylvania, honestly.
Yep.
Going to come down to Pennsylvania. Of course, North Carolina, Georgia, Michigan. Nevada. These are razor-thin margins.
What did you say Arizona was? Arizona.
Trump was winning. Trump was ahead in Arizona, last I looked, by like two or three points, maybe. Is
I'm
that
showing
right?
Two. I just looked it up while I was
there. RCP, yeah.
Yeah, Trump up 2 in Arizona. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, before we go on, we were talking about college football last hour.
Yeah.
Which is.
Go Air Force.
Well, how are they doing? Air Force Academy?
No, they're not doing real well.
Okay. I thought I missed something there.
No, I'm an Air Force fan just simply because I live in Colorado Springs and worked for the station that carried their games, the home station. They won last year. They were 8-0.
Yeah.
And ranked.
Triple option.
And then lost the last three games horrifically and have struggled this year.
That's what you call the golf. That's what you call the college football gods running you down.
Exactly.
Catching up with you. Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't
Air Force. The Air Force looks around. They go, "Hey, we're undefeated."
Do I have that right? The triple option?
We're not supposed to be undefeated. Anyway, I just wanted to say one thing, and then we'll move on, because I know this college sports is not the topic people listen to us for. Keep your eyes on this, and I'm not saying bet, because I'm not a betting man, unless I know I'm going to win.
Then it's not really a bet.
Right, it's not really a bet, right?
That's right.
Keep your eye on two teams.
Right.
Okay. That are going to rise up. This is like in the book of Revelation.
Out of the ashes?
Yes. If you look like Phoenix, if you look in chapter 6 of Revelation, this is where I got this from. Okay.
Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I heard you guys.
Well, I'm not going to go that far.
We discussed there's two inspirations, okay?
Just keep your eye on these two teams. Yeah. Okay. As possible surprise America teams. You ready for them?
Dark horse teams. Okay.
Yes. Teams that haven't been up there in the top five, but here they are, and they're ready to bring down the big boys, okay, potentially. The Tennessee Volunteers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're good.
They just went to Norman and beat Oklahoma. Handled them pretty well, mm-hmm. okay? That's no easy task.
Well,
no. And much as it hurts me to say this, Ray's Ole Miss Rebels.
Yeah.
The Ole Miss Rebels they're going to get a test against Kentucky this weekend, and then they go to Baton Rouge to play LSU, and we'll know more, Ray.
That's right.
We'll know more then.
Early returns are encouraging, but we shall see. Yep. Reality's about to hit.
Okay. Just remember this to the end of the year that Brother Tim said Tennessee Volunteers and the Ole Miss Rebels are poised to make some big noise. Go ahead. What are you going to say?
Yeah, but that's not as much of going out on a limb as I was expecting. They're both in the top 10.
You expect me to pick Appalachian State to win the national championship?
For somebody that's not even ranked, maybe. Maybe right there on the scuff of 27.
Well, what I mean is Tennessee and Ole Miss, as far as I remember, hadn't won any national championships recently.
Yeah, that's right.
Or been to the college playoffs recently.
Not in a long time.
No. Neither one of those schools, while they have great tradition, have been in the top for – they haven't been. Tennessee and Ole Miss have never been to the college football playoffs. So keep your eyes on those two teams.
That's all I needed was clarification.
Yeah, well, you got it. I just gave you clarification.
You did.
Well, okay, speaking of football,
yeah.
where is Donald Trump going to be Saturday?
Well, Donald Trump, the rumor is he's going to be in Tuscaloosa at the Alabama.
I don't think it's any rumor.
He's going to be there?
He's going to the Alabama-Georgia game.
Now, I wondered about that. Why would he go there? Because he's going to win Alabama in the game.
He's not going after the Alabama votes.
Okay, so he's going to, but it's in Tuscaloosa, so he's going to Trump country, so to speak, right?
Sure.
So you think he's just wanting to get the national television attention, maybe?
Well, and he will.
That's the biggest game of the weekend, Alabama and Georgia.
Right.
And if Trump goes there, he's going to get, cameras are going to be. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right. And Georgia, you've just said, Georgia is a classic battleground state.
So, yeah, okay, I got you. What are you going to say, Steve?
I'm required by my marriage vows to say Roll Tide.
Are you really?
Yes. I am.
Well, you said it. So you
checked that box.
You followed through on your commitment.
I have. Yeah, it's going to be a good game. Now, this is – Alabama's the interesting – I know we're not a college football show, but Alabama's the interesting team because this is the first year that they're without Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And sure. So it's the coach.
Well, the rest of college football world goes, we don't care. We're glad.
Yeah.
We're glad they're without.
And Alabama still has the budget and the recruiting, you know, the recruits from Nick Saban.
Yes.
So
yes.
They're still a contender, but
really,
it'll be interesting.
Well, there's some breaking news.
There you go. I know, right?
All right, Steve, over to you.
All right.
Over to the news desk. So, sports and weather.
We have been noting all of the threats. How much of a threatened man is Donald Trump? He's had two assassination attempts, three if you count the possibility of a truck with some explosives in it near a rally that he was having. There's some doubt of whether that was
associated.
A training exercise, but that was there. Now we learn that there has been an arrest made. A guy named Warren Jones Crazy Bull. That's his name. Crazy Bull.
The wrestler?
No, probably Native American, but I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Allegedly, he made threats 2 weeks after the Butler, Pennsylvania assassination attempt. And he wrote, find Trump. I'm coming down to Bedminster tomorrow. I'm going to down him personally and kill him. This was what he wrote. So he's been arrested by the Secret Service. Now, I don't think at this point you can. This is standard.
Secret Service, can they do arrest people?
The FBI or local authorities have arrested.
Okay.
Secret Service to the.
I got you.
Investigation, right? So anyway, another threat. And
when did this happen?
Well, the arrest came. I believe the arrest was just within the last day or two. The threat was made a couple weeks after Butler, so it took that long for them to figure out where to find this guy and such. But it does bring to mind, you remember we talked, I think, yesterday about the letter that the guy that was hiding in the fence line by the golf course, the manifesto that he wrote,
right.
Called a manifesto, where right. He said, I'm going to pay $150,000 to anybody that can finish the job. I still do not understand why they thought that was a good idea to release that, even though there's no chance of anybody picking up that money. That's putting, you know, stars in front of crazy people saying, go get it. You know,
we all expect it could happen again. Not predicting anything, right, Steve? But we're 42 days out. There have been two attempts on Mr. Trump's life. Would anybody be surprised if there was another attempt between now and the election? One hopes and prays not, but we are living in dangerous, unstable times.
Yeah, and from the sources that I listen to, the Secret Service has been less than responsive to the threats that Donald Trump has had on his life. They've yet to correct a whole lot of things that they should have. So, I heard you guys talking about what's going on in Israel and the what's going on with Hezbollah north of Israel and the terror attacks there. Well, I have some numbers. You recall that last week, apparently Israel had started a pager company in a walkie-talkie company and disguised it because they sold all these pagers. I saw a mock-up of the pager and it had two batteries in them. One was a battery, one was a bomb. And they exploded these pagers. It's the most targeted terrorist takedown of all time. Least amount of civilian casualties. These are guys, if you had these pagers and they were being tracked real time, 879 Hezbollah terrorists died in these attacks. 291 senior Hezbollah commanders died. 509 Hezbollah terrorists were blinded. 1,735 Hezbollah terrorists suffered injuries. Let's just say it was in their pocket, so injuries to their family potential.
Yeah. Yikes.
And 613 Hezbollah terrorists received permanent functional damage. And this was at the very, very few. If you happen to be standing next to, which some
I've seen
were,
a couple of the videos.
If you had to be standing next
you'd
to somebody,
to
it could be collateral damage. Yet, this is what Ilhan Omar thought about it. Netanyahu's reckless disregard, she tweeted out, for civilian lives in the pager attack in Lebanon is yet another example of why we need to cut off military aid. And I heard another person call that, the pager attack, a terrorist attack in itself.
Nah, I don't think so.
Well,
what? The pager attack is a terrorist attack?
That's what one of those networks.
Well, they just hate Israel. It doesn't matter what Israel does or doesn't do.
There's a difference between attacking the guilty and attacking the innocent.
Israel's at war. Israel's at war, and the combatants are Hezbollah and Hamas. And so they're going to use every tool they can to kill those people before they kill Israelis. And so that's just the nature.
Let me get your thought about this, Tim, because I know that you're invested.
I don't have much opinion on things.
I know.
You can try to get it out of me if you want to.
But we started with the war with Hamas in Gaza, and now we've they've moved to the north to Hezbollah. The other terror group that is very anti-Israel is the Houthis, which are over in Iraq and Iran. And they are, all three of those are backed by Iran.
The Houthis?
Houthis. H-O-U-T-H-I, I believe.
Oh, they're in, they're down in Yemen, aren't they?
Well, I guess they are, but they're, what I hear, what you hear most from them is intercepting ships along the Gulf of Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
But anyway, there's a line I'm drawing between Hamas and Iran. Where does Israel stop? Because the progression is going that towards if Iran is behind all of these, do they go ahead and, I mean, take out Iran, or how does that work?
Well, boy, that's like World War III type stuff there you're talking about. But I don't think, as much as Iran bluffs, I think it's bluffing a lot of it in terms of their rhetoric from the Ayatollahs, and the great Satan is the U.S., the little Satan is Israel, and death to the Jews and all that. Okay. They don't really want a piece of Israel. Okay. I'm just putting it that way. That's why, you remember when Iran says we're sending two things. Iran, we're sending all those drones. Mm-hmm. They sent all those drones and nothing happened.
Half of them didn't make it out of Iran.
Yeah, and then they said, remember that about 3 weeks ago or a month ago? It was supposed to be doomsday for Israel from Iran, and that never happened. Nothing would ever happen. So I think Iran really knows, again, that if they do overstep their – if they try to fire a nuclear weapon, for example, God forbid, into Tel Aviv or something, Israel's going to unleash an arsenal of weapons is going to turn Iran into sand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Glass. Turn the desert into glass.
Yeah, because the heat melts the sand, which makes glass. That's what I meant to say. So anyway, we don't want that to happen. And I don't think Iran, I think Iran knows they will no longer exist if they push it.
Remember that at the same time that they tried to launch those rockets to Israel, Israel went and targeted a building inside of Tehran and killed.
The Israeli Secret Service, CIA, whatever you want to call them. I know October 7th was like, what happened? How did the Israeli defense system fail them? But still, they have probably the premier, what would be the equivalent of the CIA, or what's it called in
the Shin Bet?
What's James Bond? MS
13,
MS 13, whatever their agency is. Great, is that what it is, Ray?
MI6 is that
you? MI6.
Got a James Bond now.
Yeah, James Bond. What is he a part of?
MS-13 is a gang, isn't it? Sorry,
that's right. You got
my gang.
But you know what I'm saying. I'm talking about the Israelis have their premier intelligence agency in the world because they have to, and and so otherwise.
So the Mossad.
Their survival's at stake.
The
so.
Mossad, yeah.
Right.
The Mossad. That's what they're called. All right. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim.
There's a lot more of this tomorrow.
We're out of time tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Another 90 minutes of this.
Keep in mind, just watch Tennessee and Ole Miss and see if they don't. I'm just going to say they both make the playoff. That's not a stretch, but both make the playoff.
Well, how many teams? Is it 8?
16, though.
12.
12.
12.
Okay.
12 teams make the playoffs. All right. Have a great day, everybody. See you tomorrow.